share with you. So I just want to recap what we have been looking at. Remember what have we been looking at? Remember Ichabod? How many of you remember Ichabod? I'm not talking about cardboard. Ichabod means what? Ichabod means no glory. The glory has left. The glory has departed. Kabod means glory. Kabod, right? You always hear Kabod, the glory of God. Ichabod means the glory has departed. During the time of the priest of the Eli, the priest, his daughter-in-law gave birth to a son, and he saw the glory of God leaving the people of God. So he gave birth to a son and said, he called him Ichabod. Can you remember that? We started many weeks ago, we talked about Ichabod, how we want to bring back the Ark of Covenant that was lost. Okay, just a quick recap in case all of you not forget but just cannot remember. What's the difference? Eh? The Ark of Covenant is really something where God, it is from the heart of God. Remember the Ark of Covenant? Why was there an Ark of Covenant? I just want to point you to Exodus 25 verse 22. It says, there I will meet with you and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. From the first day God created Adam and Eve, he wanted to have fellowship and communion with Adam and Eve. That was his original design. Every day, or when it is almost every day, Adam and Eve can hear God walking in the garden. They will run to him and they will begin to talk. They can see God face to face. That is the original design when God created man and woman. When God created you and me. But the original design is, you see, Adam and Eve, they can hear God walking in the garden. They can see God face to face. Then Adam, God will be talking to Adam, look at this fruit, you know, what nutrients are there in this fruit. When you take this fruit, what kind of impartation you receive. That was during the, before the fall. After mankind sinned, after mankind has fallen into sin, we cannot hear, we cannot see God, right? Amen. So in the heart of the Father, God has always wanted to restore the original design, the original purpose. Why I created Adam and Eve? God created Adam and Eve for himself. It's a family that God wanted. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Everyone is a family of God. But in that family, if you cannot see God, cannot talk to God, cannot hear God, it is like God who is not present. So from that day that mankind fell into sin, God has, even before mankind fell, in the Bible it says, before the foundation of the world, God has already prepared the Lamb, and the Lamb of God was slain. So there was already, it was never like, God was shocked, what will happen, that man fall and all that. Man has fallen. But there's always a preparation. And from the Old Testament, which we saw, it was always a copy and shadow of things to come in the New Testament. So they started to have tabernacle. You know, they rescued, he started with a group of people. God called Abraham. He called a group of Jewish people to show how he works with people. So he started with a prototype of people, Jewish people, he called his own. And during that dispensation, all other people are Gentiles. They are never included in the plan yet. But in the foreknowledge of God, God has always wanted the whole world. But it's, you see, this is how God works. This is God's way. He showed it through how he deals with a nation. So this nation started from Abraham, and then slowly became captive in Egypt, and God rescued them, and the heart of the Father is still the same. He says, I want to meet them. Take them out into the wilderness, and there God created, gave Moses the design of the tabernacle. And the most important furniture is the Ark of Covenant. in the verse that I've just read to you, Exodus 25 verse 22, it is there once again. My brother, my sister, once again, like in heaven, when Adam spoke to God, when God came down, once again, God has a pathway. God has a portal. God has a designated way where he can approach man. He can dwell with man. So there was this elaborate custom and practices they have to do. They have to come from outer court, go into holy place and holiest of place. There are many lessons to be drawn. One day maybe we'll look at that. But from there, only once a year, the most high priest can enter. What was originally the inheritance, the design of God? It was only limited to once a year. And finally, Jesus became the Ark of Covenant, right? Jesus died and became the way where we can approach God. Amen. Are you following me? So that very important furniture, it was captured by the enemy in the history of Israel. Remember that? We started from there, right? They used the Ark of God to get a desired result. They want to win a battle in a war against the enemy. They carry the thing like magic and they hope that by having that, they will win the victory. My brother, my sister, watch carefully. Whenever man uses God as a means to get a desired result, it is an indication of the presence of God will be lost. The moment the Israelites use the Ark of Covenant, they are using God. They are not honoring, they are not fearing God. It is never out of a relationship with Him. I'm using God. Many people today use God, and that is a very dangerous indication. I use God for my own purposes. It sounds like legitimate reason. I use God to have a happy family. I use God to have a happy economy, to have a happy financial, personal life. But the essence of it is we are only using God. The moment you start to use God like the Israelites, you are ready to see the Ark of Covenant being captured by the enemy. So it is very dangerous. When you go to a place, when you begin to see the teaching becomes like, you know, you can use God for your advantage. Then, brothers and sisters, beware. If people begin to tell you you can use God for your own personal advantage, beware. It sounds legitimate. It appeals to your flesh. It appeals to the greed inside you. It appeals to the needs that you have. But it is a fine line. It is like you are using God. You are no longer honoring God. And from that moment, the Israelites lost the Ark of Covenant. Remember that? It was captured by the enemy. The Philistines had the Ark of Covenant. That was a very, very sad day in the history of the nation of Israel. God's design, this is from heaven, okay? Moses was up on the mountain. He was caught up into heaven. He saw a design in heaven. This is how God wants to approach man, by way of the tabernacle, by way of the Ark of Covenant. A heavenly thing, a heavenly inheritance was caught and was captured by the enemy and was lost. And sadly, when you have King Saul became king, he never ever bothered, not even once mentioned the effort to get back the Ark of God. It's the same throughout the history of Christianity. If you read church history, there will be periods of prosperity. Then there will be periods where Christians begin to backslide. Because they do not value the presence of God. When Christianity becomes a religion, when Christianity becomes just do this, do that, and you can use religion to get what you want. That's what happened during the Dark Ages. You can use Christianity to get what you want. So the religion becomes corrupted. So that was King Saul. It was never in the in within his radar during his reign. It was never in his thought to restore, to bring back the Ark of Covenant. And then we saw King David, who completely had a different priority. Do you still remember? We saw King David, who had a complete different priority. Immediately he became king, he was crowned as king, he said, let's go and get the Ark of Covenant back. This is the heart. It revealed the heart of a man who was known as a man after God's heart. If you want to be like a man after God's heart, you and I should also have the heart of David. If there is already Ichabod, there is no presence of God, what do you do? Do you feel sad? Are you grieved? Some people I know of, got some God's servant in some, you know, when they do church meetings and when in some particular church meetings, if they do not sense, if they do not sense the manifested presence of God, they become very, very, very sad. And not just that, I know of some people who are very passionate, they become depressed. When they did not have the presence of God, they became depressed, which was a negative response. But I know of one man of God who was very intense. And when he didn't have the presence of God, he took it upon himself. He said, it must be because of me. I didn't do the meeting well. So I can understand, you know, sometimes we have meetings here. Sometimes when I felt that, you know, why the Holy Spirit did not move more strongly, but why we do not see a greater manifestation of His presence. Do you ever ask why, God? Do you ever feel grief? Do you feel sad? Why is it? You know, last week we experienced God's presence. Why this week it is like a bit lesser? Why I don't feel Him? So we should have this kind of attitude. Okay, we are here to meet with God. And when we can't meet with God, it should cause something inside us. Like David, I must get back the Ark of Covenant. Amen? That became a priority. I must get it back. But interestingly, a man after God's heart, who had his priority to recover the Ark of Covenant, he failed at his first attempt. So not everything is smooth sailing, right? He failed at his first attempt. He wanted to take the Ark of Covenant back. What happened? Remember Uzzah. You remember that? The incident of Uzzah. So this evening, I want to revisit that incident, okay, to have a more complete picture. What happened? Remember? When they put the Ark of Covenant on a cart, and when it went over the threshold, when it went over a place that's uneven, the Ark of Covenant is going to fall, right? And Uzzah stretched forth his hand to balance the Ark of Covenant, and he was burned and destroyed right there and then. And because of that incident, King David said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to bring back the Ark of Covenant. This is too much. I cannot take this, right? Let's look at that. Because that is a very important milestone in the journey of King David recovering the Ark of Covenant. Are you following me? Many people go through events and milestones like this, but never draw any lesson and miss it, and we'll see it is a very sad and tragic thing. What do I mean by that? Can you follow me to 1 Chronicles chapter 13? In 1 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 11, can someone read to me? 1 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 11.
And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day.
Amen. Someone read 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 8. Second Samuel chapter 6 verse 8.
And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Pera Uzzah to this day.
Same.
Second Samuel, yeah?
Yes, it's the same. I thought, my Bible, why? Right? I came from the name, the same one, right? So those two references tell us that David became angry because of what happened to Uzzah, remember? And look carefully. He named that place. Each time you read the Bible, a place is named. Why? This is important. It became a memorial to that person. He learned an important lesson to the extent he said, I must not forget this place. Wow. I must not forget what place? What's the name of the place? There is a name given. You know, David conferred a name to that place. The Old Testament is very interesting. Sometimes a person's name is changed, right? And sometimes a place is given a name. So like this example, when I look at it again, I say, wow, it is a milestone in King David's life. Why? Because this Uzzah is the son of Abinadab. The Ark of Covenant has been in the house of Abinadab for a very long time. And this Uzzah has been helping to take care of the Ark of Covenant for at least 20 years. And now he did something and it broke out against him. Uzzah has been assisting to care for the ark at least 20 years. Hello, are you following me? He must have been familiar with the ark. He must have known what the ark was, right? My friends, there are familiar things in our lives. And in our lives, more often than not, sometimes certain events happen in our lives to familiar things that we expect. I give some examples. Relationship. I've known someone for a long time. Suddenly, he betrayed me. Something happened to a person's health. I've been very healthy, that person may claim. I've been exercising, right? Who knows? Suddenly, a badminton champion in our country can have a nose cancer. A familiar thing, a very healthy person has a Uzzah event in his life. Uzzah has been taking care of the ark for at least 20 years, and now he's dead. So what is this Perez Uzzah telling us? Why did he name that place? He's telling us in our lives, there are events where unexpected happening take place. Given the familiarity or mundaneness of life. He has known the Ark of Covenant, right? But something unexpected take place. A sportsman has been very known, very familiar. It's to him, it's second nature to take care of his health. Suddenly, an unexpected thing take place. He had no cancer. It is a crisis moment. A happy couple, you see, suddenly they have problem. They want to divorce. Very good, nice church members. Suddenly, they hate each other, cannot see eye to eye. Something familiar. I've been seeing him for a long time. Something unexpected take place. That is your Perez Uzzah. It is a milestone that is so important in your life, in my life, that to the extent King David conferred a name on that place because he doesn't want to forget this place. There are lessons to be drawn from this place. And in fact, do you know what? He said, I'm not going to pursue my destiny anymore. Say, this is too hard. Right at Perez Uzzah, I'm not going to do it anymore. Until what happened? Until he heard. Someone was blessed. Someone prospered. Who was prospering? Who was blessed? Until he heard Obed-Edom. The house of Obed-Edom prospered. Hello? Can you remember all these stories? Mm. This is not Sunday school story, it's a very important story, right? He gave up already. He was angry. Hey, this is too hard for me. Somebody died. I want to do something good. Something unexpected happened. Then the house of Obed, then somebody, some little bird stole him. Hey, there is a house of Obed-Edom who is prospering like crazy. And all of us are so salivated, right? And here, you know, wow, this house prosper like crazy. Huh? What? Prosper, don't just think about money. Nah. Everything he does prosper. He has the Midas touch. You know, God, he, all the children sick, one also heal. All the kid court case also win. I don't prosper like what? Everybody want, right? Your court case all also win. Your car never break down. All your children, no sickness. All very prospering. So when he heard that the house of Obed-Edom was prospering, he wanted to go back again. That is one of the ways of God that you and I must learn. It is the principle of Romans chapter 2 verse 4. In Romans chapter 2 verse 4, I read for you. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That is a very interesting way God works. If you want to know the way of God, God uses his goodness to draw people to him. When he heard about the goodness of God, he had a change of mind. He said, hey, I cannot let Obed. It's not an envious thing. He said, I'm going to continue the pursuit of my destiny. What made him change his mind? He heard. For some people, they tasted of the goodness of God. The goodness of God should lead us to repentance. Why repentance? Because every trial, every unexpected event, every event called the Perez Uzza, like a trial, will reveal hidden things in our hearts. You have never heard of the Bible saying David got angry, right? Suddenly you know David's weakness. He was angry. He gave up. He began to blame God. He began to be unhappy at God. A trial has a way of manifesting what is inside us. Hidden things, ugly things. So when a person goes through a difficult time, all the ugly things will surface. But God is still showering his goodness. And when you taste it, when you taste his goodness, this is God's way. It should lead you to repent. Repent of the things that have come up to, that have surfaced. The ugly things that have come up. Are you following me? The anger that comes up in David. The blaming. He gives up already. Right? So recently I heard a friend of mine. He said that he has a, suddenly he needed another, like a bypass. What do you call it? Angioplasty. Because all the blood vessel got stuck. See, it's a wake up call for me. I nearly died. You know, he was telling a story and he wanted to go and play golf. And he suddenly felt very heavy inside his heart. He said, thank God it was just a friend who invited him to go and play golf. He called his friend and said he cannot make it today. He said, if it's another important person, he couldn't have turned down the offer. He would have gone and collapsed and died. So he went to check up and said, hey, the emergency said, no problem. Tomorrow wake up and you feel very bad. Went again to his cardiologist, found out it was like, it was an important blood vessel. I don't know what is it. He said the doctor called it widow maker. Means can die or you die, you will leave your spouse to be a widow. So it's so scary. He said it was a wake up call to him. So hello, my friend, brothers and sisters. Perez Uzza sometimes is a milestone, it's an event, an unexpected event in our life. That is like a wake-up call to us. Like we repent. Something unexpected happened in our lives. Everybody has a fair share of it. Amen? Everybody has a fair share of it. You don't want it. But everybody has a fair share of it. The question is, when you have that Perez Uzzah, you repent. It is like what I shared with you 2 weeks ago. You have a season of reset. You remember reset? You press the button, reset, everything start all over again. I was so surprised. I don't know whether you read the message I sent in the WhatsApp. After I talked about reset, 2 days after that, Rafida Aziz said, you know, Malaysians press the button reset. Now she like copy me a bit. How can she copy my... Yeah. Hey, it was the first article in the Malay Mail, and she said Malaysians press the reset button during the last general election. So reset is starting anew. Can you remember reset? The question is, how and what do you build upon that new slate that you are given now? This is a challenge to our country even now. You have a reset. What do you do with it? What did King David do with it? You can have a reset and still do the wrong thing. Hello, everybody? Look to your left and to your right, say reset. Tell your friend, reset, reset, reset. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. So there is a danger of us ignoring the such milestone in our life, not just ignoring, but making light of, you know, milestone, right? You go, you know, you always travel, there's a milestone there that tells you another 35 kilometers to reach another place. It's a milestone, it's an important event in our life. We cannot make light of such an event. Why? The Bible gives an interesting story. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. Who has Proverbs 26, 11?
As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repays his folly.
As a dog returns to his own vomit. Hey! Oh, your dog return to own vomit. Do you like that picture? Huh? Hello? Do you follow it? The danger of not learning or ignoring your Perez Uzzah, the danger of making light of such milestones in your life is that you go back to the same mistake like a dog going back to its own vomit. Let me go back to some Jewish culture. Jewish culture treat dogs as unclean, yeah. Like pigs. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of the story of Mrs. Rutherford? Mm. No? Have you heard of the story of Mrs. Rutherford? Do you want to hear?
Yes.
Mr. Rutherford, her family name is Bacon. So, what's the full name? Mrs. Rutherford Bacon. Mrs. Rutherford Bacon is a female pig. There was a nice, very polished lady in the UK who found this pig and gave her a name, Rutherford, and gave her a family name, Bacon. So it's a Rutherford Bacon. Look back, the very, very cute pig back to his very nice home in UK, in England. Wash the pig, right? Wash, polish, spray with Calvin Klein. What else do you have now? I don't know. Spray very nice perfume, put on the nicest dress. Because she is Mrs. Rutherford Bacon. So this lady in UK, they call lady, right? This lady will bring Miss Rutherford Bacon everywhere she goes. She goes to a high-class shopping mall, like your Star Hill in KL. UK, they have their Harrods, for example. Mrs. Rutherford will go in. Very elegant. Because also, Mrs. Rutherford also wears, what, high heels? Designed by Jimmy Choo. Come on lah, Rutherford Bacon. Jimmy Choo designed for Princess Diana. Mm. So Rutherford Bacon also must, alright, because this is a lady. So everywhere she goes, she went for fine dining. Wow. Rutherford Bacon also can quietly sneak fine dining. Do you believe me? It's a real story. When the lady took her bag on the way home, she didn't die. On the way home, Miss Rutherford Bacon saw a very nice pool of mud. Every fiber, every cell in Miss Rutherford Bacon begin to vibrate. All in a very nice regal dress, Jimmy Choo, high heels, whole body begin to vibrate. Why did Rutherford Bacon vibrate? She said, that is my home. The pool of mud is my home. They were on their way home. The lady wants to take her home to a very nice home. But on the way home, she saw the mud, she couldn't walk. You know, the lady pulled her, her whole body was like, okay. You know, the heart was beating very fast. That's my home, that's my home. Then the lady was shocked. What's happening to you? You're wearing, my lady, you smell so good. You're dressed up so nice. She said, what happened to you? She just looked at her and said, please let me go. She said, okay, what do you want to do? So she let go. Within 3 seconds, she jumped into the mud and played inside the mud. And she said, that's my home. That's the story of Rutherford Bacon. In case you say I'm telling a lie, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. You all think I'm joking. This is a true story of Rutherford. What's the family name? Bacon. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22. Do you have 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22? Someone help Uncle Alex. Uncle Alex has been reading so hard. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22. Cosmos read.
But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a soul having washed to her wallowing in the mire.
You see that? A dog returns to his own vomit and
a soul.
Today everybody learn English. It's called a sow. Okay. So a sow is a female pig who has children. A female pig who already has children is called a sow. So a female pig having washed. Hey, sounds like this is what to me. Right? Having washed, perfume, wear nicely, already, still go back and wallow in the mire. Mire is the clay, the mud. Am I telling lies? No, right? You can see Rutherford in the Bible even. It's an original story by Peter, Apostle Peter. Peter told me the story. I share with you all the story. Peter summarized that long story in a verse. And I share with you the story. My brothers, my sisters in Christ, there is that danger. You have gone through Perez Uzzah. But if you take lightly of that event, unexpected thing that happened because of familiarity, the mundaneness of life, hey, how come these things happened to me in church, in my church? Something happened to you and your church member, and your church member. If you do not draw lesson from it, hello, please look at me. Very most likely, the same problem with that church member will be repeated when you hop to another church. Like a dog going back to his vomit, like a sow going back to the clay. Do you like that? We don't like that. Amen. Amen. So we have to learn this lesson. If we have gone through an unexpected event, a Perez Uzzah, which all of us have, God must have revealed some hidden things in our heart. Could be our rebellion. Could be our pride. Could be something that is inside our heart. And, you know, we saw it and we repent. Learn from that event. It could be anger. It could be lust. It could be anything that surfaced during the trial that happened to our lives. The next time you see the pool of clay, the muddy pool, with the whole body shaped like Rutherford, Or like the dog who cannot stand after vomit, go back to the vomit and eat it again. What is the picture here telling us? Both pig and dog are unclean animals in the eyes of Jewish people, right? That speaks about your sinful nature, your old self, your flesh. You and I are not meant to operate as dogs and pigs. Amen. But this is a thing that happened. You encountered a crisis in a church. You encountered a crisis in your relationship in a family. It could be marriage, could be with your children. Or you encountered a peres uza in your financial life. You know, some problem you have. Then a similar, suddenly you meet someone who looks like the church member. It triggers something inside you. The pig and the dog wants to react the same way. The pig and the dog inside you. It's not you. Paul said, reckon yourself dead. Your pig and the dog inside us is already dead. Crucified on the cross. Do you get me? Paul said it very clear. Consider your old self dead. Reckon it as dead because it is really dead. But that is our problem as Christians. All this Rutherford inside. Do you want to give a nice name to a dog? Any nice doggy name? A classy dog name?
No.
Huh? Boy. Boy, boy dog. Huh? Snoopy. That thing will still come up. You'll still be triggered when something similar happened. Something similar to the Perez Uzzah. You will be tempted to act exactly the same as what happened. And if David did not learn from Perez Uzzah, he got excited. House of Obed-Edom got blessed because he has the Ark of Covenant. Let's do it again. What if King David said, let's do it again. Bring the cart again. Correct, huh? Bring the cart again. Put the ark again. Let's go again. Fall again. The dog going back to its vomit again. The sow wallowing in the clay again. This is what always happens in our life. And it becomes a cycle that we keep getting in a rut. Right? We allow the pig and the dog inside us to rule our lives. And we cannot get a breakthrough in our lives. That is the milestone that I cannot ignore, I cannot take lightly. I've gone through this before. Let me name this event. This is an unpleasant event I had in my family, or in my relationship, in the health, or in my finances, or it's something very personal that happened. I must remember this lesson. God has given me His goodness. I'm starting afresh. It is a reset. Now how do I build on it? I cannot leave it as it is. If I leave it as it is, the dog, the pig will come up. So when you have a wake-up call, when you have such an event, how do you build upon that life? What are you going to build upon that life? And in the New Testament, Jesus teaches us, you and I, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, we must bear fruit worthy of repentance. There is always this vacuum. You know, you repent at it. Oh, I know it's wrong. I've done something wrong. Then you stop there. There is always that vacuum. But the New Testament principle is, you realize you have gone wrong. You have been given a reset button. Now, build on it with something that is correct. With something that is pleasing to God. You cannot stop there and say, I've gone wrong. I've done this. There's a tragedy in my life. I shouldn't have done that. But now I cannot reverse it anymore. I'm sorry, God. I repent. What do you do after that? You must build upon it with the right thing. You must bear fruit worthy of repentance. Because the danger is, you may allow the dog to go back to its vomit. You may allow the pig to go back to its clay. Amen? Because New Testament teaching is very practical. I want all of you to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? This is a New Testament teaching. Now, what do you build on it? A lot of people have wake-up calls in their life. They keep having wake-up calls one after another. Because they never learn from it. Wake-up call impetus is a catalyst for you to jumpstart you further in God's destiny. A wake-up call is not meant to destroy you. It's not meant to destroy King David. It's meant to be a springboard for him to achieve God's destiny. He has failed once. He saw God's goodness. He repented. Now he did all the right things. Hallelujah. How did he get back the ark of God? Now he begins to do the right thing. We cannot just repent and stop there. We repent, we must now build on. Do the right thing. Ephesians chapter 4, I want someone to read verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, Marianne, where's your Bible? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Look at the Bible. All the children also must look at the Bible, cannot be looking at your own things. Someone read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28.
Let him who stole still no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hand what is good, and that he may have something to give him who has need.
What does it say here? It says, let him who stole something wrong. He has done something wrong. Stop stealing. Okay, he has repented. He's given a reset button. Is he asked to stop there? No. But he who steal must now work. Work. Do you see that? It's something very practical. You used to steal. Okay, you have repented. Oh, now means what? You can goyang kaki. No, pastor, I already repented. So what? Can goyang kaki? Can do what you want now? No. According to the Bible, last time you stole, you repented. Now start working with your hands. And it doesn't stop there. Start working with your hands what is good so that you have something to give to those who have need. Wow. From a place of need, you steal. Now you are asked to do something good to become a blessing to someone who is in need. This is biblical Christianity. Many people say, oh, I'm set free from this bondage already. Matthew 3 verse 8 says, now bear fruits worthy of repentance. This is what many of us fall short at. Why King David was able to bring back the Ark of Covenant? He stopped there, he made a mistake, he made things right now. The next attempt he did was all according to Torah, the law of God. He began to prepare a place. He began to prepare the priesthood. He began to prepare all the Israelites. There must be singers. There must be... He began to do the right things in order to be able to host the Ark of Covenant. So my brother, my sister, I want to just remind all of us again. There is an event, a milestone that has happened in our lives. A Perez Uzzah. Never take lightly of it. Never ignore the lessons that you and I can draw from it. You have been given a reset button in this season of spiritual reset. Begin to build afresh on that clean slate that God has given to you. Build with the right things. Don't stop there. Build with the things that will be able to bless others. That's amazing. If you continue in verse 29, another person read verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that you may benefit those who need
it. You see that? Someone who has always been what? Speak corrupt words, one. Everything also negative, everything complaining, criticizing. He says, okay, you realize it's wrong, you repent, but now not only you start talking, but you start talking what is good for building up. And when I say something, it doesn't just build up, it is able to impart grace. Wow, that is a standard of New Testament biblical Christianity. Not just repent, I'm a Christian already, I can do whatever I want. No, that's not full repentance. Oh, I know this is wrong, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, I repent. No, now build on it with something good that will bless people. Isn't that amazing? Many people say they are free already. Oh, you ask them, happy, what do you do at home, man? No, I just do nothing. You haven't repented yet. Repent means you have to carry out the whole process. Amen? Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These are all the bad things. We know sometimes we have all this, right? We put away all these things. We are given a fresh reset button. Now, don't stop there. Continue verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, begin to forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Hallelujah. If you have been hating someone, you've been angry at someone, or you know someone must have made you angry, betrayed you, ill-treated you, you are supposed to not just forgive that person, you are supposed to be kind to that person, have a tender heart, forgive that person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is biblical Christianity. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Oh, so fast. 10 o'clock. Oh, that's just the first point. First point, and I've taken 45 minutes. I don't think I can't finish all that. I'll go to the next point. Remember? So that's what King David did. He made a mistake. He named that place. I'm going to remember this place. I'm not going to be a dog that come back to this vomit. I'm not going to be that pig that will wallow in the clay, in the muddy clay. This is Perez Uzzah. I'm going to do it right now. And not only am I going to do it right, I'm going to make sure I bring back the presence of God. I bring back the Ark of Covenant. Amen. And we remember the last 2 weeks we talked about the blood. Remember how important it is, the blood. Every 6 steps, they sacrifice. Can you remember that? If you don't remember, open your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. It says, and so it was when those bearing the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fattened sheep. Do you have that? Right? Another verse is in 1 Chronicles. I give you 2. It's the same one. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. You can write it down. Or 1 Chronicles 15, verse 26. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 26. I read for you. And so it was, when God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. Right? Now they are bringing back the Ark of Covenant. Remember the journey? Now they manage to bring back, they begin to get the priest. Because according to the law of Moses, you cannot put the Ark of Covenant on a cart, on a bull cart. You have to carry it on the shoulders of the priest. Right? Only the Levitical priest, they can carry back the Ark of Covenant. So this is what David did. And when he did that, he slaughtered the animals. And we learned in a lesson 2 weeks ago that 3 weeks ago, how important blood is. Every 6 steps, every step of a man must be covered by the blood. 6 speaks of human. Everything we do, our thoughts, our deeds, our speech, all must be cleansed, must be covered by the blood of God. But today, I want to give another facet of truth on what they did. When they slaughter the cow and the sheep, what was the word used there? They sacrifice. Everyone says sacrifice. Sacrifice. Say it again, sacrifice. So there is another principle you and I can learn. When we want to bring back the Ark of Covenant, there's something personal that you and I can do. It's called sacrifice. Okay, I'm going to go through 3 points, okay, about sacrifice. I hope this is a blessing to you. And then we'll end, because there's another part, but I don't think I can finish that. So whenever we think about sacrifice, what does it tell us? You have to give up something. Am I right? And truly that's correct. Sacrifice, you cannot run away. Sacrifice means you have to give up something, because in your value system, you begin to think, hey, that seems to be more valuable than what I'm willing to sacrifice, than what I'm willing to give up, right? In your value system, you think that if I spend time to pray now, this is more valuable than sitting in front of the TV watching Netflix series. Correct or not? Your value system tells you, you watch the Korean drama or the Netflix movie, less value. But if I pray, more value. So you're willing to give up, right? And this thing is no longer practiced in our modern Christianity. Today, we call back this, like, this principle. Let us all learn together. Amen? Why not take this as a challenge? What is it that you can sacrifice to spend more time seeking God, to ask God to be His resting place, to ask God that His glory can fall upon you? What can you do? Can you sacrifice your sleeping hours? Can you sacrifice some time, some energy? They did that. David did that. Sacrifice oxen, sacrifice sheep. So you sacrifice. You want to see great breakthrough, there must be sacrifice. When you spend time with God. Amen. Now no more amen, right? What kind of sacrifice? Ask the Holy Spirit. Some people, a pastor taught, during lunchtime, you skip your lunch, and those people who work in the office, skip lunch, spend that 1 hour praying. It's commendable. It's a good sacrifice. Not only you become slimmer, your spirits become stronger. You see now, when everybody is eating, you are sacrificing that time not to eat. A lot of people say, I cannot don't eat. Have you heard that kind of thing before? I cannot don't eat. I sure faint. Who says so? You set your own rule. Try sacrificing that and see what it does. If you always wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, why not wake up at 6:30 in the morning? That half an hour, take that time to pray and seek God. Try out for 30 days. Come back and report next month. See what changes has there any changes in your life? Surely it has. Last night, I remember a pastor challenged everyone. Try every day, speak in tongues 1 hour. Come back after 30 days. Tell what difference has it made. Everybody will be, At the end of the 30 days, no one has tried it. That is the sad story. Amen. You're so right? But let's take this challenge. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit. Every journey, every breakthrough, every blessing you want to see involves sacrifice. That sacrifice is not God waiting there. waiting for getting to get something from us. Do you know what I mean? It's like God will laugh at us. That sacrifice is something to help us. It doesn't pay us. It doesn't make you worthy. The blessing, the breakthrough is all because of the grace and sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. But it helps when we give up something, when we view something of a higher value. There's a spiritual principle of sacrifice. You get it? Let me give you, let's go deeper now. In the Old Testament, sacrifice is a very interesting concept. I want all of you to pay attention because this is very, very interesting. You all really pay attention. Hallelujah. Come look here. When a person goes to the temple, hello, look at me. When a person goes to the temple and goes to the priest, he will bring an animal before the priest. That is his sacrifice, right? Do you follow me? The person who brings the animal is a sacrifice. What is he doing? That animal is an extension of himself. Correct, ma? You know that the priest will lay hands on the animal. It sometimes will pronounce guilt or all the sin of that person will be transferred to the animal, right? Are you following me? What is that? The animal is an extension of the human. The sacrifice is an extension of human. That is the picture we should have. The sacrifice is representing us. You must catch this, huh? It's an extension of me. When I give a sacrifice, that is me, okay? That animal is representing me, is an extension of me. The problem arises even up till today in the modern Christianity when a person who brings sacrifice, that sacrifice is not an extension of the human. That means the animal is not elevated to human level. Instead, the human is dragged down to the level of the animal. Understand? When we bring the animal should go up to our standard. He's representing me. He's an extension of me, right? But most of the time, you know, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice later they'll cook and they'll eat, right? So later they eat. Wow, until the sacrifice is so important, until the person is dragged down to the level of sacrifice. Wow, very nice of the sacrifice. They begin to fight for the best part of the sacrifice. Hey, I want this one. I like the drumstick. You like that? Paha, I want this one. The human dragged down to the level of sacrifice. When actually, originally, the animal should be elevated to the position of human. Can you get that? Is it very confusing? No, right? This is what happened in the modern day also. When we come to God, our worship, the offering that we give to God, how we serve God, those things supposed to be an extension of us. When I worship, the song that I sing, that should reflect my true self. But in the modern day, our worship, you know, we have gone down to the songs. We are dragged down to the things we sing. Oh, it must be lighting, it must be nice, it must be rock music, it must be pop. You have gone down to the level of the sacrifice. You do it only for people to see only. You serve God and all those things. It's not an extension of yourself. You go down to the level of your sacrifice. Money is so important now. I give, I show people, oh, I give $50 today. You have gone down to the level of a sacrifice. When actually that sacrifice should go up, represent you. So it's not important. Don't let people see. This is my heart for God. Because this is representing my heart. My worship is very serious. It's not whether it's a nice song he leads, it's whether it's the nice music he does, whether it's a good worship leader. My worship is very precious. It represents my heart. Today I come, I'm offering worship to God. This is part of me. What I sing is from my heart. Whether God accepts it or not, whether the angels will bring it as an incense or not. But we are pulled down to the level of the sacrifice. Yeah, not nice on this song. Yeah, this one cannot lead worship. Today no music. You are dragged down to the level of sacrifice. What happened last time in the Old Testament times also are today cursed to modern Christianity in different forms. Last time the sacrifice, after the sacrifice, they go and cook, they eat. Oh, they go and I want this part on that part. So human becomes the level of the food. Isn't that beautiful? So always remember, the sacrifice is an extension of you. There is a connection between the person who brings the sacrifice. And if you think this deeper, everything you do in life has a potential to become a sacrifice. That's why actually in the New Testament, there is a very deep verse, but people do not understand it. It says, whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink, do it for the glory of God. What does it mean? It means everything I do is an extension of myself. When I work in the office, when I work at home, I'm not doing it for human. It's an extension of my heart. When I study, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for my parents. It is an extension of myself. That is a sacrifice to God. That represents me. I don't go down to the level of the things I do. Oh, then you complain about your work, complain about your study, you complain about the things you do in office, you go down to that level. You, instead of the things that you do, elevated to you, representing, connecting your heart, you go down to the level of the things you do. Do you see or not? Can you see? This one you need to ponder, you need to meditate. It takes time for you for this to sink in. When this happens, this is what the Christian mystics say. Everything is a sacrament in life. Wow. That means you don't wait until you have Holy Communion to have that sense of God's nearness and God's presence. Every meal, I can have a meal in Kedai Kopi Asing, I can have a meal in Restaurant Raj Gopal, Banana Leaf. I can have all kinds of meal. Each time I have a meal, sorry, you all feel like laughing, feel free to laugh. Raj, Banana Leaf, Steamboat Restaurant, whatever restaurant, each time I partake that meal, it's like I'm partaking Holy Communion with Jesus. Wow. I say this not lightly. I say this with fear, because don't trivialize. I'm not saying all this to trivialize communion with God. But when you and I are able to appreciate what sacrifice means, everything in life becomes a sacred moment, becomes a sacrament. Wow. Wow. So everything changes. How you deal with your employee, how you deal with boss, how you deal with people change. Because you view it as a sacrifice. I don't go down the level of the things I do. It is only an extension of me. Can you get turned up? Please go back and think about it. Very important. Hello, young children also must think. Your studies should be an extension of you. You don't go down to the level of becoming your studies. You begin to complain, right? This study is boring, this is not good. No. That study that you do, the work that you do in office, or whatever people call you to do, whatever your job is, it's a sacrifice. It's an extension of yourself. It should represent you. I'm doing this for God. Everything you do will become different. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know. I would think this is a very beautiful thing. Hallelujah. The more we get into it, your whole life, you will understand what sacrifice is. And I'll close with this. The third facet of what sacrifice means. In the Hebrew word, sacrifice comes from the root word coming closer. Okay? Coming closer. So the purpose of sacrifice is not to is not a bribe. Huh? I do this, hopefully God will bless me. No. The concept of Jewish way of thinking, sacrifice is to gain intimacy. Sacrifice and drawing near is synonymous, same meaning. Sacrifice means to approach out of a desire to draw closer to someone. I do this, I want to draw nearer. I sacrifice this so that I can draw nearer, not as a bribe. I put this money, not as a bribe, I'll be blessed 34, 64, 104. That's a bribe. You're bribing God. Corruption, hello? Correct, no, you're bribing God. Under table, huh? Nobody see you, right? Offering, nobody see you. Under table. I pay 50, huh? Bless you, 50, huh? 34, 64, 104. That's like corruption, huh? Pay this under table, you bless me with a project. Tak boleh lah. What we give, the sacrifice, is just how do we draw near. But I am giving this as an expression. It's a reflection of my desire to draw near. What's a nice example you have? It is in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. You don't have to turn away. It's a story of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom has the Ark of Covenant in his house for 3 months. When David said, I'm going to take it away from you. I'm going to bring it to Jerusalem. Obed-Edom moved house. Obed-Edom said, I go with you. That's sacrifice. He has to sacrifice his place, right? Not as a bride, but because of his desire, oh, I've stayed 3 months in the presence of God. If the presence of God is there, I give up my house. I follow them. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, just one verse, we are told Obed-Edom become doorkeepers of the ark. Wow. When the ark was placed in Jerusalem, David said, who wants to take care of the ark? Who wants to be doorkeeper? Obed-Edom said, me. That is sacrifice. I'm willing to let go of my old house. All the comforts, the luxury, I've been staying there for very long. Now I go and stay somewhere called Jerusalem because I can be near to God. That is sacrifice. To draw near out of a desire to be close, to approach God. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't the Bible beautiful? Every part is very beautiful. So today, I wanted to start with 3 points, but just finish 2 points. Okay, the first thing is, don't make light of Perez Uzzah in our lives. Because there is a danger, there is a risk of us allowing the dogs and the pig in our lives to go back to its vomit or to the muddy clay. And secondly, the spiritual principle of sacrifice is very powerful in our lives. Once you appreciate it, everything begins to take on a new perspective. You see life differently. You treat people differently. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So don't think, sometimes you think, I spend time coming here, you know. It's a sacrifice. God sees your heart because you want to draw near. God sees. God knows. It is never wasted, like the song we sing. We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Because God sees right into your heart. You say, I'm so tired. You know, yes. Fully acknowledge some of you after your work, you know, or you have made some sacrifice to travel from somewhere to come here. God sees that sacrifice. But don't treat your sacrifice as a bribe, but treat it as an extension of yourself, showing your desire to want to draw near to God. And let it be truly an extension of yourself to offer to God. God, because I want to draw near, I give this to you. I offer this time to you. I offer this time of my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. Why not you just talk to Him in your own words? I want you to think over if there's any wake-up calls in your life, if there's any Perez Uzzah milestone in your life. Think over those things that have happened in your lives. What is the lesson that God wants you to draw from those milestones? Remember those places, give them a name. And even as you start a season of spiritual reset, begin to build upon that Perez Uzzah. Begin to do the right things. Begin to do the right things. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Yes, you have repented. Now what are the right things? What are the good things you can do? So that it can be a blessing to others. And then think over the word sacrifice. What is the thing you can sacrifice in your journey to draw nearer to God? Jesus has paid the sacrifice. That's true. It's enough. It is finished. But our little sacrifice is to facilitate us to draw nearer to Him. It's an extension of our desire to Him. Just close your eyes, talk to God for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just talk to God in your own way. spend this few minutes and we're going to end. Let's talk to God. God has spoken to you through what we have shared. May the Holy Spirit illuminate your mind. May the Holy Spirit help you to remember and to recall these things that you have learned and that you will bear fruit in your lives. Song be a way for you to draw near to Him.
Your name is called.
Amen. jazz, but if you want, if you need prayer tonight, I just want to invite you, as we sing again, just quietly walk to the front here. We'll quickly pray together and we ask the Holy Spirit to impart and release His grace upon you. Let something that be an exchange in your life. Okay, just come hungry, come with expectation. Just slowly walk to the front. Don't need to move the chairs away. And just do this in this short period of a few minutes. You need God and you want the Holy Spirit to touch you. As we sing this again, please come up to the front and just stand in front there with your hands and expecting God to touch you. Let's sing it again.
Emmanuel.
Everybody sing.
Emmanuel. Your name.
Souls is the best. Emmanuel. to heal and bring a refreshing to your soul now. All that you have gone through in the past. Emmanuel. There is a refreshing that flows from the river, that flows from the throne of God. That river, as it touches you, it gives life to you and it releases life to your soul. Every part of your soul that is dead is made alive right now in Jesus' name. It's made alive right now in Jesus' name. And everything that should be erased is erased in Jesus' name. Receive right now the healing touch from the river of God. Your name is God. And stay in that place. Let that river keep flowing, keep flowing, keep flowing, keep touching you. Let that river keep flowing. It comes like a wave that keeps touching and keep touching your soul and setting you free and healing you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Emmanuel. In Jesus' name. Stay in that place. In Jesus' name. Don't move. Just stay in that place. Soak in that river. Emmanuel. Your name is called Emmanuel. I uproot everything that should not be in your soul. In Jesus' name. Let it be uprooted. In Jesus' name. I break it. Uproot it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let you be planted in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Right now, come, Holy Spirit. Shikarabariyana. Amen.